What peace that comes when we surrender all to the one who gave his all for us. I want to talk to you about something today. I'm glad that I have these students up here. I didn't plan this, so they asked me about it, and I said, yeah, I would love to have them come up because I was going to definitely point them out. A lot of times when a preacher tells you, I'm going to gear a message toward the students that are going to be with us today, you adults, turn your ears off. Don't turn your ears off. Because what you're going to realize today is this. This is the next generation of believers. Watch this. Without them, we're nothing. And you guys, watch this. Without us, you're nothing. Because here's the thing. Understand, those of us who truly know Christ know this, that we are to duplicate and we are to mimic the life of Christ as the Holy Spirit leads us in our day-to-day lives so that others will see Christ in us and they will long to see Christ work in them. Listen to me, adults. That's our duty. Our duty is going to be from the position of Paul as we look at 1 Timothy today, from the position of Paul pouring his life into the next generation of believers. Your duty as the next generation of believers is to look at those who are walking by faith in Jesus Christ, to see their life, to see their deeds, to pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you into mimicking the lives of those who are following Jesus. And in essence, when it's all said and done, we will all be walking on this earth as Jesus walked on this earth, living our life to glorify God. I didn't set it up this way. God set it up that way. And I am thankful, and I will say this here today, I am thankful in my life that God sent a man who He's already taken home. And let me tell you this, I'm glad He's home. And I know He's glad He's home. But a man who loved Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength took a little knuckleheaded preacher from Texas under his wing. And he poured his life into me. And he never lost sight of the fact that it was his duty. Listen to me, you older believers here today. It's our duty to raise up the next generation of believers. It's our duty to live our lives in such a way that they see Christ in us and that they want to see Christ lived out in them. And I had a man who poured his life into me. You guys have heard me talk about him a lot. He would say things like this. He always called everyone Doc. But he said, Doc, let me tell you something. You're the next generation of preachers of the gospel. And he would signify the importance of that. We had two students who surrendered to full-time ministry this last week at camp. Let me say this. You two have decided that you're going to follow Jesus and being the next generation of preachers, missionaries, ministers of the gospel. What a noble task that is, that God would call someone as insignificant as me. And let me just say this, and I hope I don't hurt your feelings, and as insignificant as you, to carry out His great work on this earth. Bobby Clark would always remind me, Doc, you're the next generation. And he believed this. He would tell me this. He would look me in the eyes and say, understand something, Kurt. What a privilege it is. You've been called to preach in the last days. You've been called to preach in the last days. Understand the importance of that. As God's prophecies and His Word are coming to pass before our very eyes, He said He's trusted you to bring the gospel one last time to the people who you were left here to reach. How important is that we see that? The importance of raising up the next generation of believers. You're looking at them. You're looking at them. I used to get so upset when I would come back from youth camp. I was a youth minister just long enough to know that I needed to retire. I did it for several years, but I remember coming back from camp and you would come home to church and feel like everybody around you didn't know what was going on because you had been on that mountaintop with God. And let me say this, there'll be the people who try to put out your fire by saying, now you don't get to live on the mountaintop. And they're right. But they're just jealous because they don't ever go to the mountaintop. And the fact is, we don't get to live on the mountaintop, but man, those mountaintop experiences can propel us into the next thing that God has for us to do while we're here on this earth. My mountaintop experience used to be the youth camps. Now my mountaintop experience is watching that sunrise come up. And just the stillness and the quietness and the voice of God speaking to my heart. It is okay to go to the mountain just like Jesus did and to be refreshed. But don't stop short of just going to the mountain and coming back. Come back from the mountain. Share with those around you what God showed you while you were there. So we look at this, and I want to bring a message to the next generation of believers. You may be in your teens, you may be in your 20s. I'm getting so old, you may be even in your 30s and still be considered the next generation of believers. But whoever you are, maybe you were saved last week. Let me tell you this, you're next. It's your time. Bobby Clark used to say things like this: one day this old preacher's not going to be here to carry you along. I told Brandy just this week, I wish he was here sometimes so I could ask him some things, so I could bounce things off his hard head, so he could tell me the truth, even when I didn't like it. So I want you to understand, as we read this text in Timothy today, chapter 4, you students who are looking on your iDevice of whatever sort you have, and you other people who still use your paper Bibles like me, you're not right just because that's what you've always used. There are people preaching against such things. I say this, if the gospel gets out to a kid on a phone and otherwise they wouldn't pick this up, praise the Lord that God gave someone the knowledge to invent a phone that contains the whole Bible in 15 different languages. Probably more than that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaking to a young pastor named Timothy. He's going to give him some words of advice and some encouragement. He's going to tell him some things. And I want to leave you guys with these things here today. And I want to challenge you with what the Apostle Paul challenged a young next generation preacher with. But I also want every adult in this room to understand you're responsible also for the next generation of believers. So every time you shake your self-righteous little head and you can't figure out what's going on in the world, this new generation coming up, we see them, don't we? And let me say this, I'm guilty of, in the beginning, of seeing something that I don't like to get frustrated with them, but then I have to ask myself, what am I doing, as far as I'm concerned, to affect the next generation in a positive, godly way? What am I doing, like the Apostle Paul did, to take that young minister and to show him, here's what it's all about. Here's how it's going to happen. Here's what the Word of God really teaches. Here is what the Word of God does not teach, even though a lot of people says that it does, it doesn't. We're going to see that Paul gives the next generation some good advice. Verse 1 through 8, we're going to read verse 1 through 16 today, but verse 1 through 8, let's read that together. First chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. He says this. He says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Understand, it's going on right now. It's been going on. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So these people, they're not convicted of anything. They do what they want to do to get what they want to get. Please understand that. These people, a lot of times, are behind pulpits right this very moment, getting what they want to get. Let me tell you what they want to get: your money. Just be careful of these people who twist the Word of God, who are led by demonic spirits to lead you astray and to lead whoever they can astray. Verse 3 says, they forbid people to marry. We don't even have to go there to talk about who that might be talking about. Listen, what happened is it was a tradition way back then. There were people in cultic groups teaching that to marry is sin. Paul is saying, no, it's not. Poor Pope. Poor priest. Can we just park there for a second? Do you think those men don't have sexual urges? Do you think the Bible does not give you an outlet for a sexual urge as a man? It's called your wife. And then we're shocked when they have relations with nuns and children. It's because they didn't do what the Apostle Paul said to do. He said there's people who are forbidding such activity. That's stupid. Now, I'll go with you. Paul himself said, if you don't have to marry, don't. He said, man, if you can go through this life and not have a sexual temptation, don't marry. I said, I got to get married. And all God's men said, amen. But he said that. He said, if you don't have to, but if you can't withstand the lust that comes along with it and the temptation, don't fornicate. You got to get married. Because it's better for you to marry than to burn. And he was not talking about burning in hell. He was talking about burning in your lust. But he never forbid marriage. In fact, I promise you, when you have time, we'll sit down and I'll give you some pretty convincing evidence that Paul at one time had a wife before he became a Christian. So he understood what it was about. He said, there are people who are telling you, don't get married. Don't listen to that. It's false teaching. And they order people to abstain from certain foods. We're seeing that today. Did you know we have people today? We have people today in New Testament churches reverting back to the dietary law in Leviticus and telling you that you won't be acceptable to God if you eat such things as catfish or crawfish. Listen, that makes a Southern boy upset. Can I tell you this today, Gentile believer, here today with me, are you listening? Those things were never applicable to you. They never will be applicable to you. And he said, these people are teaching false things that you can't get married and you shouldn't eat sorts of things that God said's clean. Let me tell you what, God gave Peter a vision of all kind of animals, both clean and unclean. And you know what he said? He said, arise, kill, and eat them. What God says is clean. He did that to show him that you can go talk to a Gentile now. And you can go talk to a Gentile about faith in Jesus Christ. The things that were unclean under the law have been made clean in Christ. Understand that. We have New Testament churches. They're right now preaching this nonsense that if you eat an oyster, you're going to hell. You eat an oyster, you're nasty. But you're not going to hell. So he goes on and he says, so they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. That's the important thing. Whatever God provides for you, thank Him for the crawfish. He says, by those who believe and who know the truth, for everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected. Could you please underline that in your Bible? Please underline that. He says, if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer. Because what you do is you say, thank you, God, for providing this to me in Jesus' name. Isn't that what you pray when you pray before you eat? Amen. He says, it's been made clean because of Christ. Now, he says, if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith. He said, if you show people that they're wrong in this stuff, you'll be a good minister. They're following after fables. They're following after false teaching. It's very important that we, as the next generation of Jesus Christ, stand up to such things. He said, and of the good teaching that you have followed, he goes on and said, verse 7, he says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That's for all you football players out there who work out every day. You know what he just said? He said, that's a little bit of value, but are you working out in your spiritual life? I would say this to the next generation. When you drive by Gold's Gym every day, it's full of people trying to live a little bit longer to no avail. They have an appointment with death. You say, Kirk, is there anything wrong with exercising? No, I exercise all the time. You know why? Because I like to breathe when I actually go out and do something that's physical. I would rather work on the front end than on the back end die of exhaustion. It's not going to add a moment to my life. Did you know that? It's not. Oh, you think it is. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. There's already an appointment set. There's nothing you can do about it. But what it can do, it can let me enjoy life. If I want to run, chase somebody or something, I can do it. He says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. He's going to go on in a second, tell us some of verse 1 through 8 tells us this. To devote yourself to sound teaching. Devote yourself to sound teaching. Now listen, when you do this, you're going to come across as some kind of preacher dude or some kind of preacher girl. There is nothing wrong with you students right now determining in your mind that you want to hear the truth straight up from the Word of God. What the Word of God teaches, that's what you want to believe. Why? It's important. because it helps you avoid false religion. Did you know this? There are hundreds upon hundreds of cults that are made up of false religions still alive and well today. And a lot of them include the name of Jesus Christ in them, and they can confuse you, and they can lead you down the wrong path, and they can have you following something or someone that you do not need to follow. What Paul is teaching here in these first 8 verses is this: don't be led astray by lies from people who don't know what they're talking about. This person can't back it up from the Word of God, the same Bible that you have there in your hand. If he can't back it up from that, let me tell you this, it's garbage. It's garbage. You need to devote yourself, the next generation in Christ, devote themselves to sound teaching, to avoid false religion, to avoid false teachers. There are people who follow anything under the sun. Now, anybody who tells you this, listen to me, you pay close attention. You adults who stopped listening because you just thought it was for kids, this is for you. Anybody who tells you pray a little prayer and ask Jesus into your heart and everything's going to be all right, let me help you out. That is a false teacher. That is a false teacher. You say, are you kidding, Brother Lovejoy? My home church used to preach it just like that. He didn't preach it. He made it easy for you to swallow. That's not what Jesus preached. That's not what the apostles preached. That's not truth from the Word of God. Jesus preached this. It sounds a little bit different than if you pray this little prayer, everything's going to be all right. Here's what Jesus said. If you surrender your life to me, your own family's going to hate you. You're going to be jailed. You're going to be in prison. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be murdered. Your life is going to be tough on this earth because you will not belong here anymore. Isn't that what Jesus preached? So if we preach something contrary to Jesus, wouldn't we say that's false? But pulpits across America, major well-known denominations will tell you all you have to do is accept, believe, commit. Pray this little prayer. I'm just kind of a common sense kind of guy. Wouldn't it have been easier if all you had to do was pray a little prayer? Jesus would have just stayed in heaven, not come to the earth and died. God would have sent you a message that said, pray this little prayer. But God didn't send you a message, and that's what I want you to understand. That's what you students need to understand. God didn't send us an email. He didn't send you a Snapchat or an Instagram. I know you're too cool for Facebook. That's for old people. But He didn't do that. He sent His only begotten Son to this earth to die for you, and that if you would surrender to Him in repentance. Oh, they don't talk about repentance anymore because it's old-fashioned. It's old school. You talk about repentance, people will think that something's wrong with them. Let me tell you this. Something's wrong with us. We're all plagued by sin. Don't ever forget that. The moment that you forget that is the moment that you fall into that. God sent His only Son to this earth to die for you. Don't fall into the hands of false teachers who lighten that, who make that easy to believe so that it's a little more comfortable. I'll tell you this, listen to me, every one of you students, look me eye to eye. The most difficult thing that you will do in this lifetime is live for Jesus Christ when everybody around you hates Him. Oh, it won't be peachy, it won't be rosy. There's a truth to all this. There are believers in other countries your age and even younger who right now are being killed and martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ because they have surrendered their life to Him. So I encourage you, don't fall in the hands of some false teacher who sugarcoats it and waters it down and makes it easy for you to believe. And let me tell you this, if the Christian life is easy for you right now, I promise you this, you're not living the Christian life. Well, it's pretty cool, Kirk, because I can go to church on Sunday and then I can go the rest of the week, you adults listening. Then I can go the rest of the week and just still hang out with my buddies and do what I used to do. Let me tell you this. No, you can't. Any preacher that tells you you can is a lying preacher. And if he lies, he's false. And if he's false and he's teaching, what does that make him? Y'all say it with me. False teacher. He says, no, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. All the old things are gone. Guess what? You got new friends. Old ones got to go. Old habits got to go with them. Old hangouts. History. Avoid false teachers and make it easy to follow Christ. When you share the gospel with your friends, don't you dare stand at that locker and tell your friend all you got to do is pray this prayer and everything's going to be okay. Now, you tell your friends the truth. You want to follow Jesus. It's going to be the toughest thing you've ever done. Jesus himself taught that principle. Did you know that? He said, count the cost. He was telling those people, count the cost because this could cost you your life. How much do you want it? When you see how wicked and you see how evil your life really is outside of Christ, you definitely want his life more, don't you, believer? So Paul is telling young Timothy here, devote yourself to sound teaching, to avoid false religion, false teachers, to avoid false doctrine. To avoid false doctrine. You're going to have people tell you, and I promise you this, you can go to some of the most renowned seminaries in America. I would advise against it, but you could go to one of those. And there are professors at these renowned theological seminaries in our country that we live in who do not even believe in the virgin birth. They will give you 15 reasons why they do not believe in the virgin birth. And before you're done, you're going to question, do I believe in the virgin birth? There are professors in well-known seminaries who tell you that Jonah is allegory, that it wasn't really a true story. It was just a make-believe story to strengthen your faith. Let me tell you what. Every word, every page, every jot, every tittle, every question mark, every period, every comma in this book was inspired by God. And you better believe it as long as you follow Him on this earth. And avoid false doctrine. Avoid the doctrines of demons. You know what those doctrines are going to do? They're going to lead you away from Christ. They're going to tell you this, that, well, once you blow it, you're not saved anymore. I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ died once for all sin.